welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Kyle McKinnon. Delaware's efforts to manage the presence of so-called forever chemicals in its water seem to be on the right track. The latest EPA testing for PFAS in the first state produced some encouraging results, with most samples meeting the strict new federal health limits, but there are still some areas of concern based on this latest testing. Contributor John Hurdle has been following Delaware's work to address PFAS contamination for several years, and he dives into the test numbers and reaction to them in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org. And earlier this week, John joined DPM News Director Tom Byrne to discuss what he learned.
So John, let's start with the headline here. The latest EPA testing results of PFAS in the state show Delaware is doing fairly well when it comes to meeting the new strict federal health limits on these chemicals. In broad strokes, what did these latest EPA results find?
Well, what they found was that only 6% of about 3,100 tests of Delaware water's public water systems during 2023 and 2024 showed any trace of PFAS. So that's pretty good. And then a smaller share of the total was only 2.5% showed that PFAS present at levels that experts say could be a threat to public health. So those are the headlines on this very large set of data from EPA, which was put out in an ongoing test called the Uncontaminated Monitoring Rule number 5.
So John, just to remind people, Delaware had set its own PFAS contamination standards, but it's now using these stricter federal limits, correct? And can you just give us a difference, what the difference is between what Delaware was going to do with now what they are doing with the federal limits?
Well, Delaware passed its own law in 2021, which set its own limits for two kinds of PFAS in drinking water. And the context here is that there was growing public concern that these chemicals were actually a threat to public health. There was at that time no federal regulation. And so a number of states took it on themselves to set their own limits. And those included Delaware. But since the Delaware law was passed, the EPA has finally set its own health limits, which are actually much stricter than the ones which Delaware would have imposed. Specifically, the two commonly found PFAS chemicals that Delaware was going to independently regulate were one called PFOA, and that was going to be at the limit in drinking water there was going to be 21 parts per trillion. Another one called PFOS, the limit there was going to be 14 parts per trillion. It's worth comparing those numbers with those that the EPA just finalized back in April of this year, in which that they imposed a limit of just 4 parts per trillion for each of those chemicals.
Based on the test results that we saw from EPA, what is the state saying about how it's doing on this issue?
Well, I mean, I think it's essentially they're working on it. They have acknowledged that that the EPA data, which by the way was released July of this year, that the EPA data shows some PFAS in some systems, and the state, where specifically the Department of Public Health and DENREC, they're working together on this, and their efforts include seeking federal funding to help utilities install filtration. I mean, that's millions of dollars right there. And they're advising utilities and households on how to remove PFAS from their water systems and identifying the systems that have the most contaminants.
You mentioned the water utilities, and they are obviously front line on dealing with mitigating PFAS contamination. And your story notes that there's some optimism about how water utilities are responding to these stricter federal standards. Where do they stand with complying to the standards that they're now being forced to meet?
Well, as I guess the EPA data show, most of Delaware's water utilities have installed or are in the process of installing PFAS filters, and those are technology that removes these chemicals down to low levels and hopefully to levels that would that comply with the federal limits. And by the way, those federal limits are actually not effective until 2029. So the utilities have another 5 years in order to make those things effective. A couple of examples of Delaware utilities that have installed that filtration include Artesian Water. Now that's a major investor-owned utility that has about 300,000 customers in all three Delaware counties. And at the other end of the scale, the Newcastle Municipal Services Commission, it's a publicly owned water utility, and that just has around about 2,200 customers. Both of those utilities say that they have reduced the PFAS content, or at least the content for those two regulated chemicals to within the federal limits.
So despite this overall positive news, there do remain some areas for concern, particularly in places where we know there has been substantial PFAS contamination previously. One, of course, is in the Newcastle area that you just mentioned, specifically near the Air National Guard base where the military previously used firefighting foam containing PFAS. What do we know about the situation in Newcastle now with that kind of PFAS hotspot?
Well, PFAS was found in the Newcastle area in 2014. The utilities installed filters, as I just mentioned, the Municipal Services Commission says it has been essentially PFAS free since then. Now, Newcastle was one of eight communities around the country near military bases that were tested by the CDC in a national program back in 2019. And what that meant was that in Newcastle's case is that about 200 people had their blood and urine tested for five different PFAS chemicals. And it was found that that nearly all of the participants had those chemicals at above the national average level. So this pointed the finger very firmly towards the contamination that resulted from the military's use of this firefighting foam.
And you had a chance to talk to some residents in that area for this story who remain concerned about the impact of PFAS on their health. What did they tell you?
Well, essentially what they told me is that they are worried about the idea that they drank water which may have contained PFAS a long time ago before PFAS became a public health concern. I mean, I spoke with one gentleman who is he's 62 years old. He's lived in Newcastle for nearly all his life. And he said that, you know, when he was growing up as a child, you know, they drank water. He said they drank lots of water. It was never a thought that there might be any contaminants in it. And now he says he doesn't have any health issues of his own, but he said he lost one brother to cancer. And another brother has recently been diagnosed with the same disease. So, I think he's kind of typical. I mean, one other person that I spoke with on this is the pastor of a United Methodist church. And she's been at that church for 8 years. And during that time, she's had 53 of her congregants have actually died. Now, I mean, she's very quick to say that she has no proof that any of these deaths were related to contamination of the local water supply, but she says that her gut tells her that there's something going on, and that she just wonders. I mean, having found out about the contamination and the ongoing efforts to keep that out of the water system now, maybe some of these people did actually fall victim to PFAS in the past. Now, we should also say that, PFAS chemicals are linked to a long list of serious health conditions, some cancers, decreased response to vaccines, elevated cholesterol, ulcerative colitis, and a lot of very serious conditions. And so, this is the basis for some of this local concern.
How about John around Dover Air Force Base? That's another known PFAS hotspot. What is the status of what's going on around the Air Force Base?
Well, indeed, very high levels of PFAS were found in groundwater there starting in 2016. And those, in some places, those were actually thousands of times higher than the federal limits. And so since then, the military has been working to clean it up. They've installed what they call POETS, point of entry treatment systems, on a number of properties there which are off base but are seen as having had their own private water supplies contaminated by the chemicals that were used on base. What the military says is that those systems are a very effective way of filtering out those chemicals. They're also, the military also says that they're working with the city of Dover to connect affected properties with city water systems, so they don't have to worry about making their own arrangements. They're continuing to investigate.
John, what's next for the state with testing and mitigation? Is there anything we should be watching for on the horizon as the state continues, as you said, to work on this situation that's a work in progress?
Well, it is a work in progress. So, first of all, there's going to be more testing by the EPA. I mean, this big slew of test results that we've recently had is part of an ongoing series of national tests, and there will be more done in Delaware and elsewhere. There'll be more investigation by state agencies, and there'll be more applications by the state to the federal government for assistance with the cost of installing the filtration systems, which are very expensive, you know. Just yesterday, I had a conversation with the head of environmental health at the Department of Public Health, and she said, well, you know, whichever way you cut it, this is going to be a heavy lift in terms of the expense. And she said that even at an individual level, if an individual household with a private well seeks to install their own PFAS filter, it's probably going to cost them several thousand dollars to do that.
So, John, overall, should people be feeling better about where Delaware stands on PFAS levels based on all the people you've talked to for this story?
Well, I think that the data shows most Delaware water systems do meet the federal PFAS standards, even though, as I said, those standards are not strictly effective until for another 5 years. But for the few that don't meet the standards, I think there's a few things that people can do. To bear in mind, one is that the utilities are in the process of installing those systems if they haven't already. And then the individuals can actually take their own steps to protect themselves against any contamination in the water. But there's an important caveat to all this in that private well owners represent about one fifth of the population of the whole state, round about 200,000 people. And those private wells are not regulated, and so any mitigation effort for those wells has to be undertaken by those individuals themselves.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle and Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne for joining us. And The Green wraps up next with Enlighten Me, where we examine why the once invisible threat of salt in Delaware's water is getting worse and what's being done about it. You're listening to The Green here on Delaware Public Media.